بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We have mentioned in part 2 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the messengers to establish the religion, the deen of Islam, and all these worships and their benefits, which we explained in part 2, are all meant to establish and to manifest the deen of Allah, and that for the person also to have the inward incitement in the heart to enable him to carry the wajibat, the obligations, and to treat his brothers with the best of relations, and to give them their due rights, and to deal with them justly, and also to preserve the trust in everything, and to return to Allah in everything, so that the person becomes truly a slave submitter to Allah in his entire life, not following his lusts and lowly desires. In relation to this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. Verily, in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is correct, then the entire body would be correct. And if it is corrupt, then the entire body will be corrupt, and that is the heart. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that the correctness and uprightness of his slave is by the uprightness and correctness of his heart. When his heart is upright, then the person will be upright with Allah azza wa jal and with the slaves and with people. But when it is wicked and evil, it becomes corrupt, and the slave will be corrupt, and his conditions and affairs with people will be as such. And this in itself testifies that this Sharia gave great attention to the correctness of the hearts. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look to your faults and your deeds. Here the Prophet alayhi salat, the looking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the heart, and the heart is the place for the initiation of actions. As to one's wealth and body, then there is its worth nothing if it is not used in fulfilling the purpose of existence of man on earth, and that is the obedience to his creator Allah. So the focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight is upon one's heart and actions. If the heart is straight upon loving Allah, having awe of him and observing him, being sincere, then one's deeds will be correct and upright and straight, and one's affairs as well. If it is otherwise, then one's deeds will be corrupt. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Furthermore, this Sharia of Islam regulated the relations within the family itself, the family of the person and his relatives, from that is the keeping the ties of kinship and inheritance, and the cooperation within the family, so that it can be built upon uprightness in that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving each other. This is from the mercy of Allah Jalla wa Ala, most magnificent and most high, in what He said from the relations between the relatives and cooperation. And that's why Allah legislated the relation of the wombs, the kins, and incited to establish them, and threatened those who sever them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع. No one who severs the ties of kinship will be admitted to paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Muhammad, chapter 47, verses 22 and 23, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Would you then, if you were given the authority to do mischief in the land and sever your ties of kinship, such are they whom Allah has cursed, so that He has made them deaf and blinded their sight. And in the hadith, whoever loves that Allah extends His provisions and gives him. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated these good relations between Muslims in all forms, made them brothers of each other, loving each other for the sake of Allah, cooperating on goodness in all fields. And this is from the greatest relations between Muslims, the relation of brotherhood, of friendship, and any other relation between mankind. This relation, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had established, making the Muslims brothers, and entailed upon them to love one another and to give advice to each other, so that they will become one body, one jama'ah, one nation. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:92, إن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاعبدون. Truly this your ummah, your sharia or your religion, is one religion, and I am your Lord, therefore worship me alone. And in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear to us the relation between the believers. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. The believers, men and women, are awliya, helpers, supporters and friends, protectors of one another. They enjoin on the people al-ma'ruf, enjoining tawheed, calling for the monotheism and all what Islam orders, and forbid the munkar. And the greatest munkar is polytheism and disbelief, and also all that which Islam forbids. They perform the salah, the prayers, and give the zakah, the due charity, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah will have His mercy on them. Surely Allah is Almighty, All Wise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us from His mercy. ويقول الله عز وجل in سورة المائدة chapter 5 verse 2 وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. Help one another in albir, in righteousness and taqwa, virtue, righteousness and piety, but don't help one another in sin and transgression. And fear Allah, Allah is severe in punishment. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called for. To have cooperation on righteousness, not on evil. And to be helpers and protectors of one another, having no enmity towards each other, no envy, but cooperation on good and on uprightness. This is the true Islamic consolidations, advising each other on the truth, supporting each other and completing each other in all that which is beneficial for Islam and Muslimin, and preserving our rights and establishing this cooperation. And this cooperation applies to the governments and to people. They must be cooperating on righteousness. Admonish each other for Allah, loving for Allah, cooperating on that which establishes the deen and unites their ranks and protects them from their enemies. This is the true cooperation by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from the evils and plots of their enemies. Because this is the strength of unity on the truth and cooperation upon the deen of Allah, sincere for Him, seeking His most magnificent and noble face, not for any other objective. قال الله تعالى in سورة محمد 47 verse 7, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. Oh, you believe, if you help in the cause of Allah, He will help you and make your foothold firm. The victory of Allah is conditional. Conditional upon what? Listen to what Allah states in Surah Al-Hajj 22:40-41. وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ الَّذِينَ إِنْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ ولله عاقبة الأمور. Those who have been expelled from their homes, verily Allah, this is the beginning of the verse which we are citing, verse 40, verily Allah will help those who help His cause, truly Allah is all strong, almighty. The next verse, الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة. Those who, if we give them power in the land, they order for the establishment of the congregation and prayers, to pay the zakah, and they enjoin the ma'ruf, tawheed, and all that what Islam orders, and forbid the munkar, the evil. And with Allah rests all, the end of all matters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conditioned their victory and their preservation and protection when they preserve the deen and unite upon the deen and cooperate upon it. holding to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the goodness of this Sharia of Islam is that it made the believer a brother of the believer, giving him advice, wishing for him good and loving for him good, enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, and help him upon that which is good, and help him by refraining him from doing the evil. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you will truly be believer, true believer, until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. وقال جل وعلا in Surah Al-Hujurat verse 10, chapter 49 verse 10, إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم. Verily, the believers are nothing else than brothers in Islamic religion. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So make reconciliation between your brothers. So the believer is the brother of the believer. He helps him to do good, and he invites him to do good, and he forbids them to do the evil, and take his hand away from the evil. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أُنصُرْ أَخَاكَ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. Give help to your brother, whether he is ظالم or مظلوم, oppressed or transgressor. They said, O Messenger of Allah, giving help to him when he is oppressed. Then how about when he is oppressing? He said, تمنعه من الظلم فذلك نصره. You refrain him from ظلم, from injustice and transgression, then this is his help. So the Muslims, if they establish these methods and cooperate upon them, then they will have the great good and might and honor, and Allah will instill fear in the hearts of their enemies and will save them from their plots. And from the benefits, or from the goodness of this Sharia of Islam, is that it established a wise regulation and just regulation of affairs and transactions between people, to establish the truth and rights of people without inclinations due to desires for a relative or a friend and the like. All must be under justice and under the Sharia. Not because of this friendship to this person, nor because of his rank or his job, or because of his richness or poverty. All must establish and seek to establish justice in their transactions, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5 verse 8, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. Oh, who you believe, stand out firmly for Allah and be just witnesses, and let not the enmity and hatred of others make you avoid justice. Be just. This is near to piety, and fear Allah. Verily Allah is well acquainted with that, or with what you do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 135, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدِينَ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ أَنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَنْ تَعْدِلُوا. Oh, who you believe, stand out firmly for justice, as witnesses to Allah, even though it be against yourselves, or your parents, or your kin, be he rich or poor. Allah is a better protector to both than you. So follow not the lusts of your hearts, lest you may avoid justice. And if you distort your witness or refuse to give it, verily Allah is ever well acquainted with what you do. And in our sayings, we must be just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, 152, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. And come not near to the orphan's property except to improve it until he or she, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so say the truth even if a near relative is concerned, and fulfill the covenant of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for all to base their interactions upon justice and fairness, and to establish the rights between them. And from the goodness and necessity of this Sharia is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their transactions, made it upon establishing the contracts in kind, whether it is trade or rent and so forth, without specifying specific words for these contracts. Why? So that every community or every nation will deal with these contracts in that necessitated and entailed by their traditions and their languages and what is entailed by the consequences and outcomes. So he established for them contracts without specifying specific words and titles to them, but rather made it general, as he did regarding their nikah, their marriages, their divorce, their spending, their claims, their disputes. Wise and just system based upon justice, taking into consideration people's conditions and traditions and terminology amongst them, and their intentions and their situations, their times, their places, all of that within the greater frame of Sharia, so that no one can take over the right or the rights of others. And that's why Allah stated in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 44, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. And generalized, أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ, or who you believe, fulfill the covenant. And he generalized. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, in chapter 2, verse 275, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And Allah made permissible al-bay', trade. وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى, and forbade riba, usury. Allah made the origin of trade permissible and forbade ar-riba, usually. And also examine the saying of Allah in Surah At-Talaq, 65, verse 6, فإن أرضعن لكم فآتوهن أجورهن. If they give suck to the children for you, give them their due payment. Their due payment, general. Also in the narrations from the Prophet ﷺ regarding irrigation, regarding agriculture, businesses, establishments, securities, endowments, wills, marriages, divorce, breastfeeding, and the like. All in agreement with what came in the Quran. These systems which came in the Quran and reported authentically in the Sunnah are clear. Upon it, the affairs of the people are established, and it fits for all times, all places, and it does not constitute any problem, irrespective of time, irrespective of place. For such, they will have their traditions in transactions, in their buying, in their selling, in their nikah, marriages, divorce, in their endowments, in their wills, and so forth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 233, وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And if you decide on a foster suckling mother for your children, there is no sin on you, provided you pay the mother what you agreed to gain on reasonable basis, in what is known, traditionally known. And the Prophet ﷺ said in his great sermon which he gave in the farewell pilgrimage, وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِزْقُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. It is a right upon you for them, for the wives, to maintain them and spend on them, بالمعروف, معروف, reasonable basis. This is in line with the goodness of Sharia, making clear for mankind all that which mankind needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 44, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And we have sent down unto you, O Muhammad, the reminder and the advice that you may explain clearly to men what is sent down to them, and that they may give thought. And Allah does not intend confusion, but guidance regarding His Sharia, regarding its regulations. In Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 115, يقول الله عز وجل وما كان الله ليضل قوما بعد إذ هداهم حتى يبين لهم ما يتقون. And Allah will never lead a people astray after He has guided them, until He makes clear to them as to what they should avoid. Verily Allah is the all-knower of everything. وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Isra 17:15, وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. And we never punish until we have sent a messenger to give warning. And Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in his book I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in, he had a chapter, a great chapter, in which he made clear that this Sharia of Islam took into consideration the habits of people and their objectives and their traditions and their languages, so that the rulings and the fatwa will be based upon that. Because in a certain country it would the tradition would be in a certain way, and in this province it will be in a different way, and so forth. And a person's objectives may differ from the other. And for such and such people, they may have their habits which differ from others. And there will be times where it is fitting and it is not fitting to do certain things. As it was in the case of the da'wah during the time of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, it differed from it in Medina because of the difference in time and place, the difference in strength and weakness. And this is from the great wisdom of Allah, the most magnificent, the most high, and His consideration for the conditions and situations of His slaves. So, certain terminologies according to certain traditions may apply, even in terms of nikah, of marriages and divorce, which will be differ for other people and other provinces, or during certain times, but not in other times, certain places, but not in other places. And he gave an example to that, is the establishment of the prescribed punishment in the land of the enemy. The Prophet ﷺ forbade to establish the prescribed punishments in the land of the enemy. Why? Because the person may get angry, and shaitan may take hold of him, Satan may take hold of him, and then he rejects Islam because of that, and because he will be closer to the enemy. And from that, the consideration of famine. If there is famine and hardship intensifies upon people, then there shouldn't be, in this case, the cutting of the hand of the thief. If the thing which made him make the theft is the necessity, such that he couldn't find something to establish his body and fulfill his body's need, food and so forth. Because this becomes then an unclear matter, and the legally prescribed punishments are worded for the least of unclarity. And that's why Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during the year of Ramadan, he commanded that there shall be no cutting of the hands of the thief because of this situation. Similarly, the Sharia takes into consideration the outcomes and consequences. That's why Allah stated in Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59, verse 2, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, and take heed, take admonition, O you with eyes to see. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 49, فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and be patient, because the good end is for the muttaqeen, the pious. Also, look for the consequences, as in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 108. Don't insult those who invoke other than Allah, lest they insult Allah. قال الله تعالى وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, and insult not those whom they, the disbelievers, worship besides Allah, lest they insult Allah, look for the outcome, wrongfully, without knowledge. So it's inevitable. And this is from the greatness of Islam and its Sharia, to look for and observe the consequences. And that's why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned that if the person commanding what is right sometimes may lead, if it sometimes may lead to that which is more evil, than the evil he is trying to change or to forbid, then in this case it becomes forbidden upon him to do so, if it would lead to a greater evil. And this is from the consideration of the consequences. So if a person is drinking alcoholic beverages, but if you come to forbid him, and your forbiddance would make him, for example, react and or make him go and kill people, busy himself killing people, then in this case, leaving him on his state of evil is lesser evil from having him transgressing and killing people, taking their lives. So keep him on this level of evil. This is from looking at the end, the consequences. So therefore, the obligation is to keep in mind the objectives as well as the end, the results. And also, you take consideration in the conditions and affairs of people and their objectives, their intentions in regarding the contracts which they make. All of this has to be taken into consideration. And in also regarding the establishment of the hudud, the legally prescribed punishments, and in matters of enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, the person takes into consideration attaining the benefits and warding off the harm, and also attaining the preponderating benefit over the less of the lesser one, and also to minimize the greater evil by a lesser one if the person is incapable of removing both. These are great matters of Sharia, of Islam. And there is no doubt that this is from its goodness. And all people should take that into consideration when they deal with each other. The ruler, the judge, the mufti, and the others. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Islam and for its goodness. And we continue inshallah ta'ala in the next part. And they will be the last part inshallah of this talk. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.